I'm an addict named Redis. And first, I want to thank God for allowing me this opportunity to share my experience with and hope. I don't have a topic, and I really don't know what I was going to talk about, but I know it's a good feeling to be clean and to be at a convention. I was supposed to share last night, but I did, like, everything to try to get out of it, of sharing, you know, but it's always God's will for whatever's to be done, or whatever to be said, to be said. So I guess there's something in me that needs to be said. I don't know what it is. So, you know, I first came around here, how I stayed here was I followed someone into the rooms. My mate of now like 13 and a half years, 11 straight years of living together and two and some change apart, which now we live together again. And I need to say, through all that, you know what I mean, the love was never lost, but you know, feelings and emotions won't allow things to be like they used to be for me. You know, yes, I do love him, but today I love me more, you know. By coming around, I no longer have to allow people to do things to me, right, that I don't deserve. I deserve better for me, you know, and that's not to kick his back in or whatever. You know, I say I love him, and I do, right, you know, but... when a person is in their own space and wherever they're at, you need to allow them their space to do what they got to do for them, you know, but you need to take care of you. And living together, sometimes that's not hard, because I'm a person, I want to fix, manage, and control. I don't know if anybody can identify with that. But I know how we can do this. You know what I'm saying? you know, and I need to get right to what's bothering me, you know, because the reality of it is, you know, just this past week, I think, I don't know, it was Monday or whatever, early on in the week, you know, because we had plans to come here and everything, which we did, but, you know, I have evidence that that shows that my partner do what he do, you know, and I felt like I used to feel the first time that ever happened to me. And around here, we call that insanity, doing the same thing, expecting different results. But I think on how we got back to living together again was, I call myself, I would say, helping him, which I am helping them, but the honest piece of that is motives of not wanting to be alone, you know, or not wanting to revert back to who I can be, because I come from multiple of partners. I mean, an active addiction, and when I first put the drugs down, because when I put the drugs down, sex was number one. I mean, I just had to have it, right? And by any means necessary, I did that. I mean, you know, and until I met my mate, which he helped me stop being the whore that I was, right? But sometimes, right, I get thoughts or I get feelings of wanting to become who I could be. And I know that I don't want to be that person. I want to be a better person by coming around here, because I know I deserve better. And that's not to take nothing from them. I mean, because I think that the feelings that I honestly have for them, I will always have. So it ain't no trying to to front and say, well, you can go ahead and I'll be all right because, you know, I can get me one and this and all the other, you know. The honesty piece is that, you know, I do love him. So, you know, I'm here, right, and we're in this relationship. And I don't know. I'll say, letting go. Because at one point I was in a quiet surrender piece of living alone. I lived alone for a minute or two, but I found myself reverting back, you know. But, you know, they say you pick up from where you leave off at or whatever. You know, I'm not talking about the drug. I'm talking about, you know, men. So I found myself almost there, you know. But by us still communicating and, you know, becoming each other's jump off, because that's what it was, you know what I'm saying, I didn't go there, you know. But along the way, there was people who, you know, came into my life that I had dealings with, that we were intimate, you know. And I always say that, you know, I'm wifey material. And I know that today, that I'm wifey material. And I'm also, I got to say this, I'm also a caretaker. I can take very good care of you. Very good care of you, right? And I found out that I want somebody that can take care of they self. Now, this is the things that I found out prior to doing step work and knowing what you want after a while. But this time around, when they came back, well, they got a track record of not keeping a job. Let me say that. You know what I mean? And again, I'm saying this, but I'm talking about me, but they're part of my life. So I keep, you know, so I'm not blame throwing. I got to say that. I'm not doing that. I'm just trying to make it clear to, you know, where I'm at with the situation, you know, of not holding a job long. So that leads me right back to this point of caretaking, you know, taking care of, making sure we got a place to eat, live, and all that, you know. You know, but this last time, recently, you know, they've been holding down a job, right? And it has been different. It's been better, you know, but they're who they are, you know, and that's something that I can't change. I only could change me, you know. You know, I've said it to them that, you know, I'm feeling uncomfortable, you know. You know, they make songs about stuff like that. You know, there's an enemy in my bed or whatever in the house or whatever. Y'all know all the songs they make about stuff we go through. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, that's in there. And, you know, because 2 years ago, you know, but the song came out way long before that. But I thought they made the song for me, Mary J. Blige, the 11 years. Because we had 11 years at that particular time. And that was my theme song. You know what I'm saying? And when I had we had 11 years in, that was my first heartbreak. I never had my heart broken, you know, never. And until then, you know, I'm talking about not being able to go to work, not being able to eat or sleep. You know what I mean? There, I mean, and that's why I know I genuinely love this person, you know. So And in his heart of hearts, I know he loves me too. You know what I'm saying? But it's just who he is. You know, and I you know, and I need to, I keep saying who he is because that's who he is. You know, but me, you know, I keep asking myself this question of why do I keep putting myself, you know, in this position? You know, do I sit and wait for them to get better? You know what I mean? Do I sit and wait for them to get better, or do I just move on, right? But how do I move on? How do I move on? You know, and, you know, I talk to, you know, people around or whatever. I tell, you know, my situation of how I'm feeling or whatever, you know, but it's easier said than done. I mean, we all say this. I heard everybody say they love hard. I know I love hard, you know. One of the people who I dealt with when we had split up, right, you know, I was still having contact with them, phone calls or, you know, little meetings or whatever, but we weren't being intimate, you know. Because they were waiting for me to let them go out of my life so they can come into my life, you know, but they were active, you know. So that made me feel some kind of way, too, because that's my story of dealing with people that was active, you know what I mean? So I can take care of you, you know what I mean? The caretaker that I am. And now, the people that I had to tell these people that I didn't want to be in a relationship with them because of my ex is now back in my home. And, but they didn't care. They didn't care. And so that made them, like, get a little bit close to me, I guess, or something, or whatever. So I pushed them away. Now, just recently, I'll say 3 months, they've been rehabilitating themselves. And it's scary. It's scary, you know, because I talked to a couple friends of mine, and they was like, you sound scared. And it really is, because that's the unknown for me, you know what I'm saying? Because for me, I've been with this person for a long time, and I allow all this, the things that happen to me to happen to me, you know? And some of it was just dumb as hell, stupid as hell, right? But I still allowed that to happen, and I love them anyway. You know, in spite of what other people may think or whatever, you know, because somebody always know what you're doing, you know what I'm saying? And when you live in a small town like I do, you know, it's coming around sooner or later. But I'm no longer at this point, because early on, I used to fight. I mean, I had kicked in doors and did the stalking thing and all that. I mean, kick people off the porch and all this type of stuff, you know. And today, I feel like I'm not going to do that, you know. And I'm grateful for that, too, that process of allowing them to be who they are, you know what I'm saying, because I don't have to revert back to violence because of who you are, you know. I know I'm better than that, you know what I mean? It's not them that's doing that to me. It's, you know, I'm allowing you to. So, you know, why am I beating up this person for being who they are, you know? So I'm no longer in that stage, you know, and that's cool for me. But the last 4 days since that happened. Now, let me tell y'all how I found out. I found out because, right, you know, I do all the cooking and cleaning and washing the clothes and all this type of stuff, right? And, you know, where they work at, they wear uniforms, and sometimes they leave their uniform in their bag, so I had to go in the bag to get the uniform. So when I go in the bag to get the uniform, it's brand new underwear in there. I ain't buy them. You know, and so when I mentioned it, you know, when I mentioned it, they said, what underwear? So I didn't say nothing else. I let it go. I let it go, you know what I mean, just for that moment, you know what I mean? But, you know, they have a smirky kind of silly smile when they are wrong or whatever, and they gave me that, you know. So, you know, I knew. So, you know, sometimes when situations come up or whatever, I get that smirky smile. or just like when you live with somebody, that's when you really know them. Yeah. Now I know this person, you know, and Monday they was out there normal. Okay, see, I get up 3 o'clock in the morning. I be to work at 5. They get off at 6. Okay, so when I get to work, my first break, we talk. You know, while they on their way going to bed. Okay, so this Monday, right, 5 days ago, we didn't do that. So that wasn't our norm. So when I bring this up, they automatically says, just because I did one thing after normal, you know, it got to be, you know, be something defensive. So, you know, me, I'm like, okay. But he knew that I knew when it wasn't, where it was. Oh, yeah, because, and then the cell phone. Now, how are you going to be at work all day and your cell phone die? That's how I want to know. When you go, and it ain't never died before. Now, all of a sudden, this day, it died. You know what I'm saying? But I think that for me, you know, I need to find a place within me, right, to be okay with me, right, to let them just go ahead and do what they do, you know what I mean, and me get better, you know what I'm saying, but the piece I keep saying is that the love I have for them, how do I do that, you know, and that shit is hard for me, you know, it's an honest program, so, and I'm plus I'm up here sharing, so I gotta tell y'all how I really feel, you know what I mean, and that's how I really feel, you know what I'm saying, there's nothing still today, you know what I mean, that I won't do for them, you know what I'm saying, right, because of the love that I have for them, you know what I mean, although, you know, it makes me feel uncomfortable at times, you know what I'm saying, you know, my fantasy, because that's what I'm living in right now. I'm living a fantasy, right, of being in a relationship that's good, you know what I'm saying, but the relationship that I'm in is not healthy because of how I feel sometimes. This should be a relationship meeting, but that's where I'm at. I'm talking about where I'm at, you know, and so I need to get this off of me because, and, you know, openly, because I only tell, like, my sponsor and, you know, other people one-on-one. I need to see it open so I can get better, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, after we discussed it, right, because I don't like to discuss things now in anger because I get crazy, you know what I'm saying? So I try to wait till I feel a little bit better and so we can talk because we don't need to, you know what I mean? Because when you angry, you say some shit and you know, you hurt, you know what I mean? And they can say some shit that'll hurt too, you know? And I'm not, and if I honestly say I'm trying to help you, right? Because I know they want to do what they want to do because that's where they're at right now. I'm their first relationship, you know what I mean? First gay relationship, you know? So they haven't really, like, ventured out. I've done all that already, you know, at a young age. You know what I'm saying? I came out when I was 13 years old. I'm 40-something. I'm 40-something, you know, and they have experienced all that I have done. And they all in the back door now, but it's okay. But, so I don't know if I need to just back, right, feel what I gotta feel, you know, and stand still, because I gotta learn how to do that too, because I ain't one, you know, okay, I need to say this too. At the beginning, The first 11 years or whatever, you know, everything, I got 5 minutes, okay, everything was good. I mean, for as, you know, I think the last two years, we use condoms now. At the beginning, we never did. And the reason for that is because of, you know, I had to protect myself. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, if I stop caring a little bit more about me or whatever like that, because see, I can just think everything is like still the same sometimes or whatever like that, but it's not the same. You know, when they left and came back, it was never the same. I mean, I still love them, but not as I did before. You know, I don't know what happened inside of that. You know, but I know that I need to love me more. But still, again, I gotta say this so I can be honest with me. You know what I mean? The part in me wants the relationship to be how it's supposed to be, but the reality is, you know what I mean? I'm where I'm at, and they where they at, and I need to allow that to be. And sometimes, going through it don't feel good, you know. I used to cry, but I don't cry no more because of the acceptance that I have with this, you know, and I think that if I don't, you know, stay focused on me more, and you know, sometimes, let me tell you how dumb I used to be. I mean, I'm gonna go back a little bit farther, you know, because in this relationship, because sometimes you can be stupidly in love. I mean, I know I was, you know, and naive to the fact where, you know, you're loving me, you know what I mean, but you're loving me, you're going through the motions, but you know, because that's what you do or whatever, you know. I used to pack an overnight bag for them, you know what I mean? And then, you know, when you sit back and then you think of all that and all that, it builds something up in you, and you lash out at other people. You know, I used to always think that I was angry, you know, and then until I started doing some step work, because I didn't come here to do no step work or none of that shit. You know what I mean? I came in here to find out what the hell he was doing in here, for real, for real. You know what I'm saying? But when I got here, I heard some stuff, and y'all told me I had to get a sponsor to do some step work and make meetings and all that. So that's why I'm in this process now, because I was clean for 13 years before I got involved in the program, you know. And so when I came here and started doing some work on me, you know, I got some acceptance with the whole situation, although it hurt it, you know. And today, you know, I think that I shouldn't, well, you know what I mean? But I shouldn't, but it's hard for me. It's hard for me to, you know, to turn my back, you know what I'm saying? You know, and, you know, I'm not. See, although too, now this is how I know they're not done. They're not finished, and I know this. You know what I'm saying? So I'm trying to prepare myself for the unknown. You know what I'm saying? By trying to just focus on me. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm not, I used to like a lot of sex. I mean, like all the time, every night. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not there no more. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's when needed. Can you hit me off, please? You know what I'm saying? For real. I mean, this is an honest program, so for real. You know what I'm saying? And the thing is, I think that I need to you know, sit back more, because he in the process of moving on. I know this, you know what I mean, because I know them, you know what I'm saying. So anytime, you know, a person is trying to look for apartments and things of all that nature, whatever, you're not finished, you know what I'm saying, because if we were together and we're building, right, I have a two-bedroom apartment, right, which is big enough for the both of us, you know what I'm saying, if that was what you wanted, you know what I'm saying. So if we're building, right, we shouldn't be looking for apartments anymore, we should be looking for houses, feel me? So I'm where I'm at, and they're where they at, right? But I love them anyway, in spite of them, you know what I'm saying? And that's not to kick their back in, because I might go back to the room tonight, and you know what I'm saying? And it be on, you know what I mean? And you can't say what I'm saying, okay? So, you know, and I still feel some kind of way, you know what I mean, when at conventions, when queens do what they do. Because I used to be one of them queens too, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I have to respect other queens of who they are, right? And, you know, and not always look at you like you want them or something or whatever, you know what I mean? Because we going back to the same room, you know what I'm saying? It'd be something different if, like, we got a room together and we went to the dance, and then after the dance, you ain't come back to the room. But you came back to the room. Now I'm all fucked up and shit, and now we in the same room and I'm feeling stupid. You know what I'm saying? But you child, this thing called love, honey. But I hope somebody got something out of what I said. But I feel good about what I just shared, because I freed myself of what I was feeling since 5 days ago. This happened 5 days ago. I ain't even tell y'all, you know, all the other shit I've been going through, like on my job or whatever. I don't have time for that, but I need to tell y'all this. I'm the only queen on my job, and I drive the forklift, and I'm like a little bit more advanced than them, because I was athletic, you know what I'm saying, and they can't take it. Men, big grown-ass men, like I tell them, when I ride by on the motherfucking forklift and honk my horn. But it's all good, though, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, addicts, we work hard. You know what I mean? You give us a job, we going to work that job. You feel me? Shit, we ain't had shit anywhere, now we got something, please. Thanks for having me share, y'all.
Hi, everybody. I'm an addict named Chocolate.
Hey, Chocolate.
And I'm clean today through God's grace in the program of Narcotics Anonymous. And right now, I want to thank the committee for asking me to share. They asked me about 3 times, and I'm here now. I don't say that to be sarcastic or smart, but I was supposed to share, you know, today. Then it was yesterday, and you know, it's just been a whole thing. So, you know, I'm gonna share a little bit. I ain't gonna share a whole lot, cause we got 20 minutes. But I'm feeling some type of way. You know, I think I'm feeling like I felt when you had you know how you had an engagement and you wanted your people to support, or you know what I mean, like how. And it ain't so much that I need people to support me, but I'm saying, you know, I know it's people that love me today, you know, and but I got my friends here, you know, they have heard my story a lot of times, and they here to hear it now, and that's all that matters. I normally stand up when I share, and I think I'm gonna stand up because it helped me to get the disease up off me a little bit, because it'd be on my back, because they don't want me to share and be honest, you know. Tell Rita's I love him. Love her. And thanks for sharing. Thanks for sharing. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you for sharing that with us. You know, it's not easy getting up here a lot and talking about how you really feel, about your honest feelings, about what you're going through. You know, when they first asked me to share, they asked me to share on recovery and relapse. And, you know, I came to share on that. But, I'm all messed up, man. My feelings are all over the place because when I come to conventions, I love being around people. It's beautiful. You know what I mean? You meet new people. You with the people that love and care about you and that you love and care about. You know, because for so long, I don't know about y'all, but that's what I long for, was somebody to love and care about me, you know, and give me a hug, you know, and kick the bobo with, you know, even if it was live. You know, but so it feel good to be here, and you know, Rita shared on a lot. He shared on a lot, and what I was getting in touch with when they asked me the first time to share with recovery and relapse, it took me back to when I first came to Narcotics Anonymous, and my relapse. I still see it, cause I relapsed once. But I continued to use on a consistent basis. Like they say, you know, we have a period of time is a relapse. But when you just consistently using, you, there ain't no damn relapse. You just continuing to use. And that's what I got in touch with. You know, I came up in here and I sat in the middle with a black wave cap on, and everybody thought I was a man. And, you know, they were sharing and I didn't hear nothing. I just was here and I was happy to be here. You know, I always share this because I suffered all my life. I don't think I had a break. I don't think, you know, I suffered all my life because it started before I picked up the drug. You know, I was raised without a father. You know, I ain't want to be a daddy's little girl or nothing, but, you know, it would have been nice for the motherfucker to be around. You know. And it's funny because, you know, I asked questions once I came into Narcotics Anonymous. I asked my mother questions. What the fuck happened? You know, what happened? You know, why he leave? You know, what y'all was doing around here? You know, but I come from a family of addicts. They don't believe it. They don't know it. You know, they just do what they do. But, you know, my dad left and went with another woman. And, but my mom told me something, right, that always stuck with me. You know, we got a lot of shit going on now about, you know, gay. I'm gay, if y'all ain't know. Nah. And, you know, there's a whole bunch of stuff coming out now about gay society, gay people. You know, some was born like this and shit. Some ain't just choose one day to be gay. Mm-hmm. Some of us was born like this.
That's right.
So what happened was they told my mom and dad I was supposed to be a boy, but I came out, you know, femaleish. I came out femaleish. You know what I mean? Right? Thank you. And I was like, what? But what happened was, what I got in touch with was he was disappointed. He wanted a boy. I wasn't a boy. Now I got as close as I can come to him. So me and my father never had a relationship. I see him in passing. I may stop and talk to him for 5 minutes, and that's that. You know, when I came here in Narcotics Anonymous, I didn't know how to be a friend, a son, daughter, a mate, a sister, brother, whatever. You know, I was empty, you know, and I came around for like 2 years, and, you know, I ain't read the literature, mm-hmm. I ain't do no work, I ain't do nothing, I just, you know, rolled on up in here, I seen everybody looking good, they was talking a little something, you know, and I felt good coming around. I'm going to get emotional, because I'm trying to clean his soul today. You know, I'm trying to get that stuff up out of me today, because them behaviors that I suffer from, that I didn't think I suffer from, that y'all kept telling me, you are selfish as hell, Chocolate. I kept saying, no, I ain't. I give, yeah. Yeah, you give, all right, bitch, with motives and all that, you know, but
when they was telling me about myself, you know, when I was coming around, I would hear these things and everything. And listen, y'all, I don't know about, listen, I was one of those type of people, I always wanted to do right. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know how. I just didn't know how, because the things I was brought up on, that's what I thought it was. It was only until I came here that y'all told me, listen, that is wrong. And you need to do it this way. And listen, a whole lot of times, they can tell me something is wrong. Mm-hmm. But until I get it right, because that's what it's about, change, it's about change. And this is where I'm getting that change. When I came here, I wanted to change. I did not want to be that old person with them old behaviors. It was the behaviors. I love who I am today. Don't get it fucked up. I love me. I just didn't, the behaviors, man, that I suffer from and can suffer from on any given day will have me caught up in the grip. Listen, it only take a second. It only take a second. I was listening to people. See, I think I did about 3 meetings since I've been here, and they was talking about the ego, the false pride, you know, the illusions we be all in and shit, fantasy world and shit. Well, hey, listen, whatever you have today, be grateful. Mm-hmm. I need to be grateful for what the fuck I have. Because when I go back to the house and I see them people standing on the corner that don't know, you know what I'm saying? That don't know. It was a situation that I got myself into when I first came into recovery, and I'm going to take it back some, because I'm going to tell you, this is where choices begin for me. See, things happen for a reason. Whatever situation I'm in today, I'm grateful. You know why? Because it's a stepping stone to get me where he's trying to get me. That's what I'm learning today. Like, you know, we suffer from guilt, shame, remorse, false pride, all of that stuff, right? And what I need to do is work through that stuff. I don't need to no longer run and hide. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what I always did. So what I got today is I need to work through whatever it is I need to work through, get through it so I can get to the next level. That's what I heard today. Like, I can't beat myself up over things that happen that I have no control over. Mm-hmm. Some things I don't have no control over. But it's about change. No matter what I'm doing, no matter what I'm in, no matter who the fuck is involved, what are you doing, Chocolate? Mm-hmm. That's all that matters. I don't need to worry about my woman and what she doing. Listen, long as I'm here to do what I'm supposed to be doing, that's all that matters. That's what I got out of being here this weekend. This is my journey thus far. You know, I get emotional, man. I get emotional because it's serious to me. It's real serious, it's scary, it's challenging. I'm in some unfamiliar things. I'm some places I ain't never been before, you know. I thought I knew what happiness was. I thought I knew what joy was. I thought I knew what peace was. I thought I knew what, I was wrong, man. You know, the situation that I got myself into when I first came to Narcotics Anonymous gave me the choice. Did I want to be in recovery or not? And I say that because now I understand why I went through the things I went through. Because we have choices that we have to make. Either you going to do this or you ain't. It got to come from within. It got to come from me. It can't come from her. She can't just say, listen, I'm going to make the decision for you today. You need to. You know, because that's when, you know, when we do that, then we're trying to change people when they're not ready. That's causing harm. You know, we talk about this harm piece. I mean, it's I love Narcotics Anonymous and the literature. I love the literature. I can learn something every time I read the literature. Listen, and a lot of stuff contradicts itself to me, but that's okay. I'm going to keep working through it until I get it right. Because that's where I'm at today. No matter what I'm going through, no matter what I'm, like I said, it's, let's get it right. Let's do it right. Let's correct the wrongs. Let's correct the mistakes. Let's do whatever. It's about change. That's all I hear. It's about change. So that's where I'm at. They told me 20 minutes. I ain't even gonna draw a long this out. I'm gonna let me share, Connie share, and whoever else wanna share too, because that's what it's about. You know what I'm saying? I don't come up here to be no, you know, it ain't, listen. I'm one of the ones, I liked it. Lights, camera, action. Mm-hmm. And if I ain't careful, a lot of times I can go back to that. You know, I know my limitations today. I learned some things. I did a couple fourth steps. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, I did a couple fourth steps, right, that lets me know, like it tells me about myself. I know the things the limitations that I had. You know what I mean? I know about priorities today. I got some integrity, some loyalty. You know, I built myself up a little bit up in here. But I'm telling you that what keeps me like, you know, from, I'll be scared because it can just go, man. It can just go. I can snap. I can go. I'm already crazy. Listen, I thought I was crazy with a beer. I thought I was crazy. When I got drunk, I would do some of the craziest things, boy, I swear to God, right? But when I came to Narcotics Anonymous and put the beer and stuff down, and I realized I do them same things without the beer, I said, bitch, you crazy. And you need to be, you right where you need to be. You right where you need to be. Because I'm telling you, at any given time, I can lose my mind. I can lose my mind at any given time. So listen, the ego, the pride, and all of that, I try to leave it at the door. I don't listen. It's about having empathy instead of empathy, like I'm no better than nobody else. All that stuff I have to keep right here in my head. Because I'm one of the ones, I get big-headed, cocky, and it's on. Listen, I don't know. I like that street life stuff. I don't know. It's something about, listen, sometimes I just want to be a thug. I want to be one, you know, and I ain't thug material. Listen, all that stuff, they was like, you a player, all that. Listen, y'all, looks is deceiving. I ain't no player, I ain't no gangster, I ain't none of that. I'm telling you, because I got played too many times to think I'm a player. Word up, I'm telling you, I got played too many times. Listen, I thought I was the best. Now, I ain't nothing on that. I'm telling you, so... learning those things about myself and learning that, listen, I'm going to tell you what really got me. I didn't think people can be so devious. I was naive in a mud, boy. I was naive to them, to me, you know. And the more I stay here, the more I learn. That's all. The more I stay here, the more I learn. The more I get to meet people, and they can, you know, and I don't get offended when people tell me about me today. Because I tell them, you're absolutely right. my baby used to always say, you cocky. And all I can do is say, yup. Yes, I am, honey. I'm cocky. Because it's the truth about me. That comes from doing a fourth step. That comes from doing work on myself. See, I don't have to get offended when people approach me today. I can look you in the eye and be like, what's up? I keep telling, I don't suffer from jealousy like that. I think anything y'all got, I can get. Okay. I'm just not one of them jealous, envy type of people. You know what I mean? But I can be a snake. Mm-hmm. I can be a snake. You know, so, like, you know, and a lot of times, what I'm learning now is the character defects, they have faces. They switch faces. You know, they manifest themselves in other areas, and they have, you know, you thinking it's one thing, but it's really another. See, that's why they say you got to continue on in this process. You can't just stop at the 12th step. You got to continue to go around. Because the more mature you get, the more mature the disease get. You know what I'm saying? It don't come at the front door and say, listen, I want you to go get it. You know, a dime and let's get high. Listen, it'll tell you go cheat on your mate. It'll tell you let's go gambling. It'll tell you to continue. Drink them monsters and run yourself in the ground. You know, it'll tell you some stuff, you know. Drink them energy drinks. Just run. And after a month of that, I'm done. I'm tired, honey. I'm tired. Can't do the do. You know what I mean? You know, listen, we talk about insanity. We're talking about the disease manifesting itself in other areas where you my disease is always active. I might not know in what area yet. It might not be apparent, but it's always active. It's active in some area in your life. It is manifesting itself right now. Why you at this convention? Yeah, go ahead, you good cheering motherfucker. Soon as you walk out this meeting, bam, you know. Because the disease know what I like. The disease know what I like, you know. So I just try to watch myself, monitor myself, and practice these principles to the best of my ability. I'm not perfect. I did found out I'm human. You know, because you couldn't tell me I was human. You couldn't. I didn't think I was human. I didn't, because I was one of the ones, I wanted to be perfect. I mean, I'm perfect. You listen, I want to put the cup back in the right spot. I can't do wrong. I went through it, and it was a few months ago I went through this. I couldn't do no wrong. Listen, I'm telling you, I beat myself up. I'm going to tell you why I beat myself up. Let me tell y'all why I beat myself up. I beat myself up because I'm with a woman that's married, right? And when I first came into recovery, if y'all remember way back when, right? It was this person that came into my life, and I don't know what their motives was. All I know was I wanted to be a part of. I wanted to be involved in something that was positive. You know, somebody cared about me because I didn't know how to care about myself. Somebody was teaching me things, teaching me healthy things. You know, get dressed, take a bath, do this. See, nobody don't know the story, right? And what happened was I got ridiculed because everybody assumed what they assumed and didn't know the truth. So when I did, 6 years later, get with this married woman, all those feelings came back. I thought I was doing this great ass. I thought I was gonna, listen, I just felt like I was gonna be crucified all over again. Unfortunately, the circumstances changes, situation changes, and people change. To me, that's recovery. You know, because you got to be careful. And I tend to do that. When somebody say something to me, I'll take it in and shit, and I'll dwell on it and shit. And then if I don't talk about it or get it out of me, it'll manifest itself. And then I'll find myself in a place where I'm fucked up. Now, listen, don't get me wrong. This is not a religion this is not a religious program. This is a spiritual program. And what happened was I put the fucking cart before the horse. First of all, I didn't have a spirit. I didn't know what a spirit was. I didn't know what spirituality was. So I don't fucking think I'm supposed to be doing all of this correct shit when I don't know what the fuck I'm, you know what I mean? Like, hold up. You know, so, you know, but listen, the stories goes on, life goes on, situations present themselves. What I need to do is just handle it the way it need to be handled. You understand? Because like I say, we put in positions, we don't know why we're there. We just fucking here. Just be the best person you can be. And listen, I love my woman today. She might be married, but I'm with her. You understand? And listen, this ain't to knock nobody. This ain't to tear nobody down or whatever. But this is where I'm at in my life. This has been my journey. I can't live for every fucking body else. And if I think if we all start living for ourselves, we might be off in a better fucking place. So, with that, I'm going to continue to show up in Narcotics Anonymous. I'm going to continue this step process. My sponsor done put me on the 90 and 90. You know, like I said, I'm not perfect. You know what I'm saying? I just try to get better, be a better person to my family, to society. Listen, I'm not a family-oriented person, but today, because of Narcotics Anonymous, I am. I can show up for my mother who's sick. I can show up for my sister who's pregnant. I can show up for the other sister who got 2 kids. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't got to be so fucking selfish and think it's all about chocolate. Because it's bigger than me. This bigger than me. I remember standing in the middle of Bellevue talking about the disease bigger than me. fighting the disease. Stop fighting God. Just stop. Just do what you gotta do. Grow the fuck up. Take on your responsibilities. Be a productive member of society. And fucking get some motherfucking, get in service or something. You know, we can make a mountain out of a molehill and shit. You know how they said a mountain, molehill, or a mountain, whatever. You know, y'all know what the hell I'm talking about. But I'm gonna just continue to come, be an example, share my experience, share my hope. I don't know, I ain't know what I was gonna share, but I guess that's what the hell I was supposed to share. And I wasn't. God, just boy, you a mess, God. I'm telling you. That's all I have.
Our last speaker.
Oh, we got another speaker?
Yeah, and I'm not it.
Oh,
okay. It's Amisha.
Oh. I'm an addict named Misha.
Hey, Misha.
I'm clean today through God's grace in the program Narcotics Anonymous. For that, I'm truly, truly grateful. Wow. I need to like calm myself down right now because I'm like emotional and I'm upset.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like really, really angry right now, and I wasn't like that before it was time for me to share. But it happened in the midst of me coming down here to share. The bottom line is, look, I'm an addict. You know what I'm saying? And things don't take much to get me upset. You know, I'm pissed off right now at my daughter because she's nowhere to be found. She's 15 years old and she's not home like she's supposed to be. And like, I had to make other arrangements for my son, right? And I say that to say because a few months ago, right, I went through a situation with my daughter whether I didn't know whether I was going to have to bury her or not, right? And I'm at that place right now, right? Because I don't know where she's at, you know. And I was going to tell him I couldn't share, and I was going to go back into town. And my sponsee sister said to me, well, is she home? I said, no. Well, is she at, you know, at my sponsee house? I said, no, she's not there. Well, did you check over here? I said, she's not there. She said, well, what the hell are you going back into town for if you don't know where she at? Where you going to look? Right? Which made a lot of sense to me, right? And so I'm, like, trying to calm myself down. Anyway, besides that, I came into Narcotics Anonymous. It didn't take a whole lot of kicking and screaming and crying for me. I came in here with open arms because I knew that I was dying. I knew I was killing myself, and I knew that I had two kids, two babies that I had to take care of, and wasn't nobody else going to take care of them the way a mother's supposed to take care of their kids, right? Ain't nothing like a mother's love, you know. I lost my mom when I was 12 years old, and I was real angry about that, right? For a very long time. Even after I came into recovery, I was angry for a very long time. I was angry at my mom for not taking care of me the way she was supposed to, and then gonna get me back and then leave me at the age of 12. I was angry with my mom for giving my little sister AIDS when she was born, and then she left me. I was angry with my grandmother because she died and she left me, because my stinker thinker tell me that my grandmother was supposed to stay alive for the rest of my goddamn life and help me take care of my kids. God had another plan for me. God wanted me to take care of my kids, right? I had my daughter when I was 18 and my son when I was 20. I used through my whole pregnancy with him, and like because of that, it was a lot of guilt and shame that was like so just like barricaded me down, right? So I just like took on to him. He was like right here all the time. My daughter, she could go wherever she... See, when I came in Narcotics Anonymous, my story was about my daughter all the time. I hated her. I couldn't stand her. I wanted her dead. I wanted to fucking kill her, and I couldn't stand her. Today, I love my daughter. And I can say that out loud. I couldn't say that shit before. And I'm still working on telling my kids that I love them, because I don't tell them on a daily basis. I can come in here and tell everybody that I love them. I can come in here and give y'all hugs all day long, every fucking day. But I can't do it to my kids. I could tell my baby I love her every day, all day, give her hugs, do the damn thing. You know what I'm saying? But I can't do it for my kids, right? I wasn't brought up in a house where you told your children that you love them. You know, and I always said I was going to break that cycle, but it's a hard cycle to break for me. I've always been a follower, you know, and right now, like, I'm taking back to my daughter. This situation is like really fucking with my head right now, right? Because, see, like I explained to my kids, and I was telling my girlfriend this the other day. I'm like, I truly understand why my grandmother did what she did. I understand why my grandmother told me, don't come back home. I understand why my grandmother tried to do right by me. I understand why my grandmother did some of the things that she did and why she couldn't do some of the things that she didn't do. She was too damn old to chase your ass around the damn town. Why couldn't you just come home at 9 o'clock like you were supposed to? Why you gotta worry about what Tom, Dick, and Harry, Sally, and Sue is doing out in the street? I broke curfew one time and broke night, stayed out all night till 6 o'clock in the morning. Me, my cousin, her boyfriend, and a bunch of us doing nothing. I'm like, this is what the fuck I stayed up for?
Okay.
This is what I thought I was missing? Not a damn thing? But then I ran away from home when I was 15, right? My grandmother tried to put me in a home. I ran away from there. She had the cops out looking for me and everything. And I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And it didn't dawn on me till about a week or two ago why my grandmother didn't chase after me the way I chase after my daughter. I'm able to do that today. My grandmother loved me, because if she didn't, she could put my ass in foster care when my mother gave birth to me. But instead, she took care of me and my brother and my little sister. She took us in. She didn't have to do that. You know what I'm saying? And I assume she loved her daughter enough to not put her through it. My mother was an addict. She was recovering when she died, thank God. You know, but she was an addict. She was an IV user. She caught AIDS and then she died. You know, and on a lot of days I still feel that anger, because I see like when my mate mom come around, or her mom, you know, her mom call on the phone, and don't get it wrong, I love her mom to death. She loves me. She'll call the house for me and don't even speak to her. She be mad as hell. You know what I'm saying? And I like that. I love that. But it ain't my mother. You know what I'm saying? I get jealous when other people's moms come around. I get pissed off when I hear people cussing out their fucking mother. Because mine's not here. How dare you cuss out your mother? But who's to say I wouldn't have been cussing out my mom if she was here? Mothers get on their daughter's nerves. That's just the bottom line. You know, and I know I get on my daughter's nerves. You know what I'm saying? I know I nag at her. But see, I tell my daughter all the time. My daughter, I picked up from school the other day and she told me she got an A+ on her project that she did in school, right? My daughter, from kindergarten to eighth grade, failed everything. How she passed, I have the slightest idea how she got to high school. I really don't know. I stayed on her back, and God said she was going to high school, because it wasn't me and it wasn't the system. That's just the bottom line. This girl made honor roll the first fucking semester, right? And I'm crying and shit because she was missing at the time when I found out. You know what I'm saying? And I'm calling all her friends, well, please tell her to come home. I'm glad she made honor roll. Just tell her I love her. A few days later, she pulls the same junk on me again, right? Couldn't find her for a couple of hours. She told me she was on her way home. 2 hours later, she ain't there. I don't know where the fuck she at. It's 11 o'clock at night. The girl was only 14. She just turned 15. I'm like crying. I'm kicking holes in my walls and shit. I got to plaster them up now. You know, It don't take a lot for me to get angry. My girl can say boo to me and I'm pissed the fuck off and I'm punching walls and shit, right?
Psych ward.
Let's break it in. Look. This program has afforded me a lot of things. It afforded me the film, Dale, and fucking Hill.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, I came in here, and like I said, it didn't take a lot for me to come in here. They took my son from me when he was 3-4 years old, and I took my daughter and shipped her ass out to New York. Because I couldn't stand that at the time, the sight of her. How dare y'all take my son? Look, now she got to fucking go because I don't feel like being bothered with her because she a pain in my ass, right? And I came in here, right? And everybody was showing me love, right? But I fed off of that. Because, like, I love sympathy. I love sympathy. I came in here and I gravitated to the first group of people that loved me. So, like, I'm with them. And, look, I want y'all to feel sorry for me. I want y'all to take care of me. You know, watch my kids for me. I'll be right back. I'm going to use. You know, and my daughter's just like me. Oh, my God. She is just like me, right? And, I think that's the only argument that me and my girl, like, our biggest argument is always about my daughter, majority of the time. Because she sees how my daughter plays me, right? And I see it too, but the guilt, shame just eats me up so much on the inside because I abused her so much. Look, I picked her up and threw her against the fucking wall and bust her head open, was too scared to take her to the hospital, okay? I kicked her down a flight of stairs. I kicked my son down a flight of stairs. I abused my kids. So when they want something, the guilt say, get it. Because you shouldn't have did that to them. When they need something, I'm going to get it. I don't care how. If I got to spend my money, her money, anybody else's money, I'm going to get my kids what they need and what they want. If I got to sneak and get it. And that's what I do sometimes. And then we argue, you know, and then I sit down and I think about it. And I'm like, damn, you should really have to stop letting this girl run your life like this. Right? Well, I finally did. I don't remember what she did or what she said. All I know is I blacked out and I picked up the cable box and I bust the bitch upside her head with the motherfucking cable box, right? Because she told me she was calling diapers on me. I ain't do nothing to her. You know what I'm saying? And I had to go back and I had to apologize to this girl. Because once again, right, I'm abusing her. Because I'm angry now, right? And I told my girlfriend, right? I said, look, I'm going to go and I'm going to just drink, right? Because they don't know. They misunderstanding me. Because I'm clean now, they think they're going to run the fuck over me. Well, now I'm going to go fucking use and I'm going to show them the old mommy that they used to have. And I'm going to beat the shit out of them. And then call fucking diapers. But that's not the right way to go. You know? Look, I got to free myself. I can't, because, look, one day I'm just going to black out, right? Right? I'm going to black out, and I'm going to be in jail somewhere, and then I'm really going to be lonely, because ain't nobody going to come see me. I wouldn't want nobody to come up there to see me. I love you, too.
I ain't.
No bail.
You're going to get me. You know, so listen, right? Look, I swore to myself that I would never be like my mom, and that's exactly what I turned out to be, you know, an addict. Today I'm a recovering addict, right? I watched my mom use drugs when she did decide she wanted to stop by and see us, and I had my first joint when I was 10 years old. With my uncle's friend, grown-ass man, you know, and I thought because he was a friend of the families, I was supposed to go to his house, you know. my first joint, high as hell. Ain't nobody knew I was hot but me, you know. I started having sex when I was like 8, 9 years old. Because I thought that's what I was supposed to do. The world today is different from what it was back when I was growing up. And it's scary out there. I'm paranoid when I step outside my house. You know, my kids, you know, they like I was when I was younger. You know, mom ain't nothing gonna happen to me, so on and so forth, you know. When I first took my first hit, I knew I had a problem right then and there. Anything that's gonna change my mind and just let me do something that I know I wouldn't do if I wasn't high, I chased after it. You couldn't tell me I had a drinking problem until I moved out to New Jersey. I started drinking at 12, you know what I'm saying, and got drunk as hell. Before I knew it, I had to have a drink in the morning, throughout the day, and at night. Now I'm talking about at 17 years old, okay? My grandmother, right, always had a fifth of vodka sitting on her table, nightstand, right? And every day I went in there, she was always sipping. But she never went nowhere. So I'm trying to figure out how the hell this bottle keep getting filled up. Right? So as I got older, I think I was about 16 years old. And we were sitting at the table. And she was drinking her little cup and everything. And she said, called me over, Mama, come over and sit down with Granny and let's talk. So I sat down and I had, you know, we talking and everything. And I just got to finish eating. So now I'm nicking for a cigarette. Can't go outside right now because Granny want to have a fucking talk. So I'm sitting there and she pulled out a cigarette and she's smoking. And I'm like, can I have one? She said, sure, baby, go on and have a cigarette. That's when I first started smoking in front of my grandmother. I said, I got my own, went in my pocket, pulled out my cigarette, and I started smoking. And she said, oh, okay, honey. I said, can I have a sip? She said, sure, go on ahead and have a sip. First time I ever had vodka. Fucked me up. From that day on, that's all I drank was vodka. 16 years old, straight. That's when I figured out how my grandmother's bottle stayed full. She kept a gallon in her closet, just like her. I didn't go out, okay? I bought my shit and I put it in my closet, just like my grandmother did, and kept my fit full because ain't nobody else getting none. I did not share nothing. I was selfish. But you couldn't tell me I had a drinking problem. I drank till I got drunk, made myself throw up, came back, and finished what I was doing. But you couldn't tell me I had a drinking problem. I used to drink a fifth of vodka in about 5 40s every day. It's only through God's grace that I'm still alive. Yes. It is through God's grace that I have a good liver today. You know, there are days that sometimes I feel like using. I feel less than. Feel like nobody loves me, you know. One time I was driving, and the car that I had at the time, I swear, the state of mind that I was in, I think I would have kept driving. Because all I wanted to do was run. I ain't want to deal with the fucking kids. I ain't want to deal with the fucking mate. And I damn sure didn't want to deal with none of my motherfucking friends. Because, see, I got friends, right, that love me today. And I got friends that will put knives through to my throat. You know what I'm saying? When I call them and tell them I feel like using, bitch, you want to feel pain? I'll show you some motherfucking pain. I'm going to cut you. I ain't want to feel none of that. So I brought my yellow ass home. There are a lot of days that I don't want to be bothered. There's a lot of days where I would just sit up in my room And don't just tune the kids out. I'll tune the mate out. Don't bother me. Give me my remote. And all I want to do is watch Law and Order. That's it. Just leave me alone. You know what I'm saying? And it's not good. It's not good. Because I found myself not making meetings. I found myself not making my home group. I found myself not calling my friends. Mm-hmm. I found myself not calling my network. I found myself not calling my sponsor. Let me tell you something. Me and my sponsor talk every fucking day. It wasn't a day that went by that we did not talk. Now, I don't call her. Every now and then I might call her. You know? I've been stuck on my fifth step for about a year now. That's how I feel, stuck. Like I'm just here, you know. I love Narcotics Anonymous. This place, Narcotics Anonymous saved my life, for real. Because I was first introduced to Narcotics Anonymous when I was 18 years old. My son's father took me to a meeting. We was high as hell. Took me to a meeting, and I was like, I don't have a problem. And that's what I always thought. I never had a problem. Because I would get high with him, and then I would stop. But I always had my alcohol. So as long as I left that other shit alone, I was fine. I was okay. You know what I'm saying? Until I moved out to Trenton, and they said alcohol is a drug. I'm like, what? And I'm going to be honest. If I could drink today without smoking any crack, I would. That's dangerous for me. Let me tell you something. See, I was a crazy drunk. I got drunk and I fucked people's shit up. Not mine. Okay. I fucked everybody's shit up. I broke dishes.
Yes.
Okay? I stabbed up beds. Okay? You know, I cut shoes. Look, I damaged everything. Everything. You know, me and my mate went through something when we first got together, probably like a year into our relationship, right? And she decided that she wanted to move out. So I said, well, since you want to move, I ain't helping you. I went to the movies with my friends. She was pissed off. When I came home, all her shit was gone. I broke whatever she left. Was broke. Broke it. She bought me something. It had a remote to it. I threw that bitch clear across the motherfucking room. And this is without a drink, a drug. Okay? So imagine how I am.
Yeah.
With it. You know, like, I suffer from anxiety. At any given time, it feel like my heart is about to bust. You know, and that's not a good feeling, because, like, sometimes I still do. Like, I hold my feelings in, and it's not good. Like, I won't tell my mate that, you know, I feel like cheating on her sometimes. Sometimes I tell her, I feel like cheating on you. Sometimes I don't tell her. And that's not good for me, because, see, this is the healthiest relationship I ever been in for 5 years. My past relationships that I've been in, let me tell you something. I had a main chick on the side, and I had five other girls over here. Now, all of them knew about the main chick, but the main chick didn't know about them. And y'all better not say nothing, because I'll fuck you up.
My hero.
Mm. They was friends with my mate. I brought them around. My mate didn't know they was bonds. You know, I did a lot of devious shit. Mm-hmm. But when it was brought back upon me, I ain't like it.
Well.
You know, I don't know. Right now I'm just like ready to jump in my car and drive to Trenton and look like a fucking idiot driving around looking for my fucking child right now. And, in a few minutes, I'm about to smack Chocolate upside the head, you know. But see, like I said, today I have people that love me, you know what I'm saying? Like, when I told them what was going on, they were always ready to just jump in the car and let's roll. Let's go. You don't want shit? You want to go back to Trenton? Let's go. You know what I'm saying? That's love right there, man. Because my friends, well, my associates that I had before I came in here, they wouldn't have did that. They wouldn't have did none of that. All right, well, what you about to do? You about to go back? All right, well, I'll catch you later then. That's what I would have heard. My mate and my daughter don't get along too good. She was ready to jump in the car and go back into town while I shared to go look for her. You know what I'm saying? Let me tell you something. Well, my daughter didn't go missing. I kicked my daughter out that time. Okay? I kicked the ass out. And the reason why I kicked the ass out, because you're not going to sit there and cuss at me in my face. No 14-year-old daughter disrespect me in my house. Tell me that you hate this motherfucking house. And I wish you was dead. Well, since you wish that, get the fuck out. Get out. Now, me and my naive thinking thought she probably go sit on the porch and cool off. Look, God taught both of us a lesson that night. I called the cops. I'm crying. My baby like, I don't know how you feel, but do you want to go look for her, please? I'm calling my sponsor, and that's the only one I called. I was scared to call the rest of my friends and tell them what I did, because I was scared they was going to fuck me up, and then when they found her, they was going to fuck her ass up. You know what I'm saying? So now the next day, I go to work, and my job like, well, why you come to work? You know what I'm saying? Because what else was I going to do? I didn't know where this girl was at. I didn't know whether I was going to have to bury my fucking daughter or not. She's a 15-year-old, and she's doing what I did when I was 15. My daughter is nothing but a splitting image of me, and that's why we don't get along in a lot of days. I had a mouth just like her. I used to tell my grandmother to kiss my ass. I don't like you anyway. And see, it came down the line, because my grandmother had a nasty mouth, and I'm pretty sure my mama mouthed off to her like that too. My grandmother used to say some nasty things to me that I didn't like. Well, that's why your mother died of AIDS. Or she'll call my sister, that's why you got AIDS. But see, my grandmother was dying. She was sick. She had cancer. She didn't know better. She didn't know better. She hit my son when he was a month old. I was ready to kill her. She didn't know better. Because, see, she went back. They say old people go back to when they was a baby because they about to go back, right? So... Right? So, like, that's where my grandmother went back to. She went back to that baby stage. And I couldn't take care of her like I was taking care of my babies. And she didn't like that. She was jealous. And she took it out on my babies. And then she took it out on me by kicking me out. But I still took care of her anyway. I loved her in spite of. And today I still love her, whether she's not here or not. You know, today I love my mom. I don't hate her. You know what I'm saying? My mom did the best she could with what she had. And so did my grandmother. And the sponsor that I had at the time, because I was so angry, and she told me, she said, the reason why God took your mother the time that he did was because, see, she was an addict. She got clean. He took her at the perfect time for him. She was my mother, but I didn't own her. He do. He owned her. I don't even own me. This ain't me. And that's all I can do is for my baby is pray to God that she is safe right now. Because that's his child. Ain't mine. I just birthed her. You know, she's borrowed. She's borrowed. You know, and all I can do is pray and hope that she's safe right now. And, like, I don't know. I just hope y'all got a message out of this, got something out of it. I just want to say that I love Narcotics Anonymous, and I want to, you know, I don't know. Thanks for letting me share.